We're talking today about God's design for the home, and we're in Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. In verses 1 through 3, he talks about how that men should be responsible and noble, and the women should also be. Women should teach the younger women. And then here's what they're supposed to teach them in verses 4 and 5. He says, "And so train the young women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure." Okay? Homes that glorify God have women who are trained to love. Love is the essence of God. And homes that have a loving woman in them do really well. And so he says, have the older women train the younger women to love. Now, how can older women teach young wives to love God and to love their husbands and to love their children? Well, first you have to be with them. You can have them in your house. You can be in their house. You can get together and have coffee, work on Bible school material at the church building. You can find something to do together, but you have to be in their presence so that your modeling of love in a home is able to be caught by them so that they see it and learn it. Hopefully, you learned a lot of that from your mama. Hopefully, you've learned it from other Christian women. And those Christian, now that you've learned that, you can share that with others. Now, no, they don't want advice. You don't give them advice. You show them how to love. You show them what you do. You share really good recipes, and you talk about the love you show when you do that. And they learn that as you love them, as they see that. Now, how can young wives better seek and find training to love? If there's no women coming over to your house that are older women, you got to go to their house. You know, you've got to find, or you've got to invite them over or whatever. You've got to go together and work on stuff at the church building. But you've got to be in their presence. You learn from them. How does an electrician learn to be an electrician? He hangs around somebody who knows what to do with those wires. Okay? And once he learns how to do that, then he learns to be... How does a plumber learn to be a plumber? He hangs around with somebody that does plumbing. How does a wife learn to be a wife? How does a homemaker learn to be a homemaker? A keeper of the home, which is the word that we're going to look at here in a few minutes. You have to have someone to help you do that. Now, homes that glorify God have women who exhibit godly character. Notice the character traits that are mentioned in verse 5. Okay? That women are to be sensible and pure and good. In the ESV, it says, teach them to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their husband. The word of God may not be reviled. They're to be sensible and pure and good. They're to be kind. The nature of a Christian wife is to have this character trait from God. Well, how do you get that? We're going to have to... Well, I guess I'll wait till the next point and do that. What honor should come to those who are effective keepers of the home? Keepers of the home is what they're called. They're those who keep the home, working at home. They're keepers of the home. They're kind of responsible to make sure things go well at the house. They're responsible. They want to make sure everything works. Guys, where's your can opener? Guys probably know where the can opener is. But there's other things we don't know where it is in the kitchen. Why? Because she knows where it is. Right? And that's okay. She's the keeper of the home. And not just there. There's a whole bunch of other things that she knows where it is. She's keeper of the home. The reason why this works, we have to go back to Ephesians 5 to kind of understand this. In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22, he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now the church submits, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay? Wives are, wait. I thought wives are just as important as husbands. They are. Well, why does it tell wives to submit their husband? Because it does. God made you, and he knows how things work well. God didn't choose for women to be submissive to men, to their husbands. Excuse me, not to men. God didn't choose women to be submissive to men because they're not as important, or they're not as good, or they're not as strong. He chose that because it was best for men and best for women for that to take place. Okay, God made man in his image. Male and female, he created them, right? So they're both made in God's image. If they're both made in God's image, how come he gives them different roles in the church and different roles in the home? In the church, he says, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up a holy hand. He says, I forbid a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man. He wants women to keep silent in the church. The same thing in the home. Women are to be submissive to their husbands and to respect their husbands, and husbands are to lead in the home. Well, why is that? It's not because men are better at it. I'll be honest with you guys. Women are better at it. They are. That's the nature that God created in them. But he created it in them to use for good, and he created other things in man to be used for good. Women, let's see, how do I say this without looking too bad myself? Okay? Men, before we were born, a rush of testosterone went down our and fried the wiring between the lobes of our brains. We're brain damaged. Sorry. But it's a good thing. Okay? We have less connections between the lobes of our brain than women do. But that allows us to focus more clearly on one issue. We're better problem solvers. We can focus on one thing. Okay, we tend to focus on one thing at a time. And we have to quit focusing on that to pay attention to our wives, by the way. So we have to do that. But we have one thing. We can focus on one thing at one time. Women, on the other hand, they're thinking about everything all the time and how they relate to each other. Okay, they're always thinking about, well, picture you've got 17 tabs open on your computer and they're all running at once. That's the way her brain works all the time. Only it's more than 17, okay? There's like all these things going. She's always thinking about how they relate to each other. So relationships are like a big thing for ladies. But you see, God made her with ability. She can multitask way better than we can. Because of that, she has leadership capabilities that we don't have. But God chose the roles in the home and in the church so that men would learn the aspects of God's nature we do not naturally have. And he chose submissive roles for women in the home and in the church so that they would learn aspects of the character of God that they do not naturally have. Men want to say whatever you want, dear, and God says that's not an option. Women says, I want to take care of this, and she says, and God says, maybe you want to check with your husband first. See, there's the roles that God has is not based on relative importance. I believe church get along without me a lot better than they could without my wife. I believe my family get along a lot better without me than they could without my wife. But I'm the head of the home. Okay, God has us in our roles not because of relative worth. God has us in our roles so that we can learn the aspects of his character we do not naturally learn on our own. And so he wants wives to respect their husbands. He wants them to learn the character traits of being sensible, of being pure, of being good, of, ESV, being kind. That's what keeps a home together. And you ladies, you do this already. You do this well. Keep that up. Those are the things you look for in a godly wife. It's not about, you know, looking like a model. It's about like the model of Christ. Now let's continue. In homes that glorify God, wives respect their husbands. We just read that in Titus. We just read that in Ephesians. Okay? In Titus, wives are to respect their husbands. In Ephesians, they're to respect their husbands as they respect Christ. Now, what happens in homes where wives don't respect their husbands? Husbands don't do too well. And wives don't do too well. And kids don't do too well. Husbands need to be respected. When I know my wife is pleased with me, I can do anything. If I think she's displeased with me, sometimes I can't do anything. Husbands, what your wives want to hear most from you is, I love you. I adore you. And then she wants you to back that up with your life. Ladies, what your husband wants to hear most from you is, I'm so pleased with you. I think you're wonderful. That's what they want to know, that you respect them, that you're pleased with them. That's what they want from you. And when that happens in a home, good things happen. When that doesn't happen in a home, bad things tend to happen. But if wives respect their husbands, things go pretty well. Now, who's blessed when wives learn to respect their husbands? Well, husbands are. Our wives? See, if wives respect their husbands, the husband, he loves it. And the wife, she gets to live with a happy hubby. You know, she doesn't have that old grumpy hubby. And so as we bless each other's lives, the home goes a whole lot better. And so wives are taught to submit to their husbands and to respect their husbands. Not because they can't do better, but because God wants that relationship to be like that, because it helps her be the person she needs to become and helps him become the person he needs to become. Now, it doesn't say it in this passage, but I've still got Ephesians 5 open in my Bible. In homes that glorify God, husbands are to be worthy of respect. You know, here I am, I'm drinking on whatever, smoking whatever, doing absolutely nothing except holding the remote. And I say, yeah, you got to respect me. For what? Okay? Husbands are to live lives that are worthy of respect. Now, let's go back in Ephesians. If you're still in Ephesians with me, Ephesians 5. We're going to start now in verse 25. Husbands. And by the way, he says more about husbands than he says about wives in this passage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay? That's pretty specific. I preached a sermon out of this text one time when I was in West Virginia called, Husbands, submit to your wives. Because it tells wives to submit to their husbands, but it also tells husbands to submit to their wives as Christ loved the church. Did Christ give himself for the church? Yeah. Okay, you've got to die to yourself to bless your wife. Christ died to himself to bless the church. I'm to love my wife like Christ loved the church. He did whatever he could to present his bride to himself without spot or blemish, with the washing of water with the word. When you were baptized into Christ, when you became a part of the body of Christ, Christ was cleansing his bride so that you could be that spotless bride. That's his goal. That's his dream. For us to be the bride of Christ, spotless, pure. Well, Husbands, we're to love our wives the same way. So loving your wife is doing whatever you can to help her grow closer to God. If I'm going to help my wife grow closer to God, what are my responsibilities? Modeling. I've got to put into practice the life of Christ. If she doesn't see that in me, I'm not going to help her develop it. If I want her to live a pure godly life, I've got to live a pure godly life. And she's got to see in me an attitude worthy of respect. Now, what problems come when men want to be respected for ungodly behavior? We could write a book. They have written books on what happens when men don't have godly behavior in the home. What happens to your kids? Okay? Everything gets messed up if you're not practicing godly behavior for your children, for your wife, for the people around you. And I'm
the boss.
No, you're not the boss. God didn't make Eve from Adam's foot. Okay? You're not the boss. She's your helpmeet. She's right there with you. You are together working for God. Each just as important as the other. Now, what blessings come when men exhibit godly behavior? If you practice that, surrendering yourself to bless your wife, she comes home, her feet hurt. You can rub her feet. If she doesn't like that, don't do that. But if she does, that's not a bad thing. You can wash your hands later. No, I'm kidding. Whatever you can do to bless her, you try to do that. If you've got time, you can make coffee. You can figure out, and also men, I know this is tough. The most intricate, complex machine that could be used, you can learn how to do the laundry. It really can be figured out. It took me a while, but after 10 years or so, I finally learned how to do a load of laundry. It was after we got rid of the wringer washer, but we had one of those. But if men will exhibit godly behavior, does that help the home? Men, does your home have daily Bible devotionals? Huh, I wonder who's going to start that. Men, do that. Husbands and wives, you have a daily prayer time together? Huh, men? Who's going to get that started? Okay, if men will exhibit godly behavior, does it affect the home? Men, do that. Get that. Now, wives, you can encourage that, but men, do that. We are to be the leaders in the home so they can respect us and submit to our leading. Now, God's design for the home is there to keep God's word from being blasphemed. NIV says blasphemed. In Titus, in verse 5, he says, be self-controlled, pure, working at home, being submissive to their husbands, so that the word of God may not be reviled. NIV says blasphemed. To blaspheme is to speak it down. The word of God being spoken down. Mahatma Gandhi says, if Christians were more like Christ, I would want to be a Christian. If you were more like Jesus, he would want to be a Christian. If we live more like Christ, people out there would want to be in here. They're not in here because we need to act more like Christ. And that starts with men. Husbands, live more like Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands so that the homes are the design of God. And when our homes are the design of God, do we enjoy that? When your home's going well, how's things going? Well, pretty good. You know? How you doing? Oh, wife likes me. Kids are healthy. Car runs. I'm doing pretty good. You know, how's your life? Love one another in God. Serve God together. Now, how can we do a better job of developing godly keepers of the home? Well, we started with older women teaching the younger women to do that. Women, learn from older women. Older women spend time with younger women so that they can learn from older women. I hate to think I'm an older woman. I've got Lady Clairol, you know. But no, if you've learned lessons, share those with somebody else. You've got insights to share with younger women. Do that. Don't offer them advice. Have them over and do things together, and they'll see the way you do what you do. They'll see your Bible open and your daily devotional time. They'll see the way you can whip up a meal and the way you talk about things about what's going on in your day. Spend time with one another. Not giving them advice on what they're supposed to do, but letting them see how you do what you do. Training them in godliness. Now, how do godly homes protect our culture from blaspheming God? See, the world out there, you can go to places, you can go to websites, you can go to Facebook pages where if you say anything good about God, they will jump all over you. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they grew up in terrible home situations. Okay? Last month, Darwin had a birthday, and everybody celebrated. Darwin was a theologian who got mad at God when his little girl died, and his life didn't go the way he wanted it to, and he got mad at God. He wasn't a scientist at all. But he got upset. Well, people around us are going to be upset by what goes on in their lives. And when they get upset about what goes on in their lives, they tend to tear down Christianity because, man, it's not as good as I thought it was supposed to be. Our homes being what they should be is what's going to get God's word to the world. When Jesus got done washing the disciples' feet in John 13, in verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I loved you." What did he follow that up with in verse 35? He said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have this love one for another." Okay, if we learn to love like he did, the world will know we're his disciples. How's that going to happen if our homes aren't what they need to be? How are we going to train up a generation to love God if our homes aren't what they need to be? This is serious. We need to do that. You say, well, my kids are already, my kids are in their 40s and 30s. But I still have a responsibility to bless them and encourage them, and I've got a responsibility to help other people, to be the example for them. All of us have that. Because God's homes, God chose the home and sanctified the home over 4,000 years before he established the church. Maybe he thought it was important. So, the call to action this morning is to train and then to motivate godly keepers of the home. You train them, you motivate them, you encourage them, you spend time with them. Men and women, to be respectful and to be respectable. Now, how well are husbands living a life that can be respected? I started here because wives are submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Who got this started? The church or the Lord? The Lord. Guess whose responsibility? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ got it started. Husbands, we need to get it started. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church, giving ourselves up for her to make her pure and spotless and blameless. Now, how well are our wives respecting their husbands? As unto the Lord. Respect your husbands. Submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Not because you can't do it better, but because it's better for you to submit to your husband. Now, what are we doing to help train younger women to be godly keepers of the home? What are we doing now? We could do better, couldn't we? Wives, who are you going to spend time with this week? Who are you putting on your calendar this week to spend time with? Who are you going to call up on the phone and talk to? Who are you going to have over the house? We need to be doing that. And what are we doing to motivate them? Not just train them, but to motivate them. Encourage them. Let them know that when this happens, blessings come about. When you're serving God, really good things happen. Our call by God is to be blessing the people around us. So today, during the carry-in dinner we're going to have after services, let's make some plans. Let's talk about what we can do to spend time and build up one another in the body of Christ, to build up the homes to be what God wants them to be. So, how can we help you? If you're not yet a Christian, you can't help somebody else become one. You've got to lead them. And so, if you're not yet born in Christ, let's spend some time talking about Jesus until you're so amazed by him you want to spend the rest of your life following him. And if you're willing to come to that point that you want to spend the rest of your life following Jesus, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you're willing to die to yourself, you can die to yourself and be buried with him by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. If you've already done that and you haven't stayed true to it, you need us praying with you, we will pray with you. If you need some help in your home to be the man, to be the woman that God wants you to be, if your kids are already up and grown and you want some strength to be that influence in the lives of others, whatever that might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.